Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. And we're live at Williams Chicken, just north of 20 on Cooper. Come get your State Fair Classic tickets, Grambling and Prairie View. The 100th edition of that game is coming up here. And we'll talk more about that a little bit later on. CA's going to be here. Chris Arnold's going to be here before too long. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333 with Franklin Frankel. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. We'll have another chance to win our Ultimate Cowboys fan hang brought to you by Whataburger here in probably before the end of the hour. Just to eyeball that for you. Chris Emma, 670 The Score. He covers the Bears, and he joins you now here on The Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
What's up, guys? How we doing?
We're doing good. You know, wondering, you know, what Chicago's going to bring to the party here. What kind of a path to victory does Chicago have? What do you think their chances are Sunday afternoon?
Gosh, I mean, yeah, at this point, I think it's got to be a track meet. Like, this Bears defense is depleted. They are really struggling right now. They're missing some key players, obviously, with Jalen Johnson, Kyler Gordon, T.J. Edwards, Grady Jarrett, all on the injury report, and they just don't have the depth to play next man up. So, look, this Cowboys team is going to score. They're going to put up points. I bet Dak Prescott is licking his chops to get up to Soldier Field on Sunday and play that game against this secondary. So, the Bears' only hope is to keep pace, is to try to match the Cowboys' offense. I do think it's going to be a high-scoring game, and I do think the Cowboys win.
Now, you mentioned Grady Jarrett there. Saw he was limited today. What's going on with him?
Step forward. Progress for him. He's been hampered on the injury report with a leg injury. Look, he played on Sunday after being limited throughout the week, and he just did not look quick off the ball. He looks like he's struggling with this. That's a veteran. That's a proud guy who wants to be out there and be an impact player, but it was clear that he's just not quite himself at this point. And this defensive front has just not gotten pressure consistently with or without him. So the Bears have major problems defensively right now. That's only a blip on the radar.
Are there any players on the Bears defense to be concerned with at this point?
Gosh, that's a great question. But Montez Sweat, like, look, this guy has been a Pro Bowl player. He's been one of the better pass rushers in the NFL in the past, but he was not that guy last year. He, too, was dealing with injuries. He had four or five different ailments to put him on the injury report. Without a sack so far through two games this season, the Bears hoped that would change by adding Dio Dingbo on a big contract this offseason. Sweat has not looked like the guy he's paid to be at $98.5 million, and that's been incredibly frustrating for a defense that needs guys to step up. So I'll say 98 in blue is somebody you got to watch for on Sunday, but we in Chicago have been looking to see it as well.
What's going on with Tremaine Edmonds here, Chris? I mean, that was one of their prize free agent acquisitions. He was thought of as one of the best linebackers in football. Is he not what he once was?
I'll take you back to 2022, the first year then for Matt Eberflus, when the Bears came to Dallas and got stomped by the Cowboys. And that was the game that opened up the Bears' eyes to this is a long-term rebuild. They traded Roquan Smith the next morning and really marked the beginning of the end for that tenure and turning the page to this rebuild. They signed Tremaine Edmonds a few months later on a lesser deal than the $100 million Roquan wanted. They got him for $72 million and hoped that he could fill the void, if not entirely what Roquan Smith brings to the table, then something short of it to some positive degree. And to Tremaine Edmonds has been a good player. He's been a good leader, but he's not been worth the investment that the Bears made, and he certainly has not been anywhere near the level of Roquan Smith. That's been a miss on the record of Ryan Poles, the general manager, and there are many misses on that record right now, and that's being exposed as Ben Johnson takes the helm and tries to turn this thing around. The fact that this roster is still missing blue-chip talent and the difference makers that win you football games consistently, that's why the Bears are sitting here at 0-2.
Chris Emma with us here, 670 The Score in Chicago as we get ready for Cowboys-Bears on Sunday. Chris, what's up with this offensive line, specifically their tackles? I was a big fan of Darnell Wright when they drafted him out of Tennessee. Has he just not quite developed? And Braxton Jones seems like he's been an issue on the left side from our scouting report from our local expert, Brian Broaddus.
Yeah, look, Darnell Wright has gotten steadily better in his two, now going on 3 years with the Bears. He's been encouraging. I think he certainly is a starter in this league, but he's not been the number 10 overall pick yet. Consider that they were sitting there number 9 overall a couple years ago with Jalen Carter on the board. They clearly did not want him. They traded out of that pick to Dallas or to Philadelphia, let the Eagles take him, took a fourth-round pick as part of that return. That's how much they did not want Jalen Carter. When you pass on a guy like that, you better be getting the right guy at number 10 overall. And Wright has just not popped the way that you want to look as a franchise tackle. That's been frustrating, but he still is not the weakest link on this line. I mean, that is Braxton Jones, their starting left tackle. They open up a competition this offseason because Braxton Jones simply hasn't proven himself as a long-term viable starter, and nobody really won that battle as much as just Braxton Jones assumed the role again. The second-round pick, Ozzie Trapillo, who they hoped would ascend and take that spot, he was inactive last Sunday in Detroit. That's an indictment on the player development side. He should not be inactive. He should have a jersey for game day. They had a guy in Theo Benedict who was an undrafted free agent, kind of became the challenger for Braxton Jones, and he still just wasn't good enough to take on that role. Karan Amagaji, a third-round pick a year ago, has played only a couple games and just not really earned his place to be out there. He does not look certainly like a third-round pick or even an NFL-caliber player yet. So it's been frustrating the way that they missed at the left tackle position, and I think they'll reevaluate that at some point this season, if not sooner. I think that Braxton Jones' spot is up for grabs, and somebody wants to take it, they can go get it.
Hey, Chris, what is up with the Bears, though, the rushing game with them with Swift? And Zach mentioned watching your tape and stuff like that. It seems like there's opportunities for him. He's
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Not getting contacted at the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage, just they don't have many successful players running the football with him.
Yeah, he's been better so far this year. I think he's being coached better by Eric Bieniemy, who they brought in as their first year running his backs coach. And Bieniemy is a guy who he doesn't BS. He's just shoot straight to the point. And he's been on Swift about stop dancing. Get the ball and go. Stop hesitating. Find your whole attack and go. And be that explosive runner. But that's just not really who DeAndre Swift is. I mean, he's kind of proven himself as more of a complimentary back and a good one, a very good one. But think about a year and a half ago when the Bears were there in the open market. Saquon Barkley was out there. Derrick Henry was out there. Josh Jacobs was out there. They were the first team to grab a running back, and they took DeAndre Swift on a 3-year, $24 million deal. Sure. They want that one back. As Saquon Barkley would look wonderful in a Bears blue uniform. Any of those guys would be a major upgrade. It's not worked out the way that they wanted with Swift. And the more frustrating part is they don't have any viable options. There's nothing in the backfield right now that they can count on. The only other players to carry the football in meaningful time are the DJ Moore, the wide receiver. Sure. Talmadge, a seventh-round pick, got garbage time carries on Sunday in Detroit. That's the only time he's touched the football. Roshad Johnson, the former Texas Longhorn, has not carried yet this season. They're just trying to establish something on the running back depth chart.
We got Chris Emma, 670 The Score here, talking Bears with you in the G-Bag Nation, live from Williams Chicken in Arlington, 20 and Cooper. How concerned would you be with Matt Eberflus if you were covering the Cowboys? Where could it go wrong? Where would it go wrong?
I think he's in a better place. I think he is in a much more comfortable spot as the defensive coordinator. I'll be frank with you, like, he just was not cut out to be a head coach. And the city and the franchise and the circumstances around it kind of ate him up, and it just did not go well. He spent so much of his tenure trying to preach positivity, trying to encourage his players, not just to the media, but directly to them, saying, we're getting better. We're getting there. Keep believing. Keep united. And when you suffer frustrating losses like they did last year, where they felt they were close and you come up short and coaching isn't part of it, you lose that messaging. Nobody believes in the idea of we're just right there. That's when it turned. That lost Thanksgiving in Detroit last year when he tried to preach the idea of we're close, stay together. And it was a mutiny in that locker room. And they turned on him to the point where there was no coming back from it. I think he's much more comfortable being that right-hand man to Brian Schottenheimer, to the staff there in Dallas. And he can call plays. He knows defense. And I know there's been some struggles defensively there for the Cowboys, trying to get that thing completely turned around and build an identity now post Micah Parsons. Eberflus is the guy to do it. And he needs the personnel. He needs this thing to be catered more to his identity, which a guy like Kenny Clark certainly helps that. He wants that anchor, that three technique to drive this defensive identity. So I think he's in a much better place. I'm happy for him. I hope it works out for him leading a strong, prominent defense there for the Cowboys. He's a really good man. He struggled in this job. I think people in Chicago have certainly respect for him, but also understood that he was just never meant to be a head coach.
Are you expecting a lot of Cowboy fans in attendance there at Soldier Field?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, look, there's always a good road crowd here in Chicago. Yeah, it's a destination city. Obviously, it's a place people want to go to see football games. And Cowboys fans will travel everywhere. We know that. So, yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of excitement. I think it's going to be a really good, entertaining football game. It's two teams that certainly need a win here. So it's going to be a fun atmosphere on Sunday.
Hey, Chris, what's up with DJ Moore? It seems like, though, that he seems to be kind of a little bit of a forgotten man for the Bears right now offensively.
Yeah, look, there's, I think, been internally some frustration. We heard Ben Johnson on Monday talk about we need guys to play their hardest when they don't have the ball in their hands as opposed to just only when they do. And you don't have to look too deep into the film to know DJ Moore is part of that. Whether it's directly a shot at him or not, you know DJ Moore doesn't always play the hardest when the ball is not in his hands. That's frustrating for Ben Johnson, and that's what could ultimately cast him out in Chicago if he consistently does not show that kind of effort, blocking, sealing the edge, doing what you need to do, hustling downfield. Like, it's just the details are not consistently there for DJ Moore, and he's a really productive, talented wide receiver, but he's not proven himself as the complete package. He's the guy who wore a C on his chest last year as a captain, and he was miscast in that. He just doesn't have the personality, that natural leadership to elevate those around him. And I think internally there's been some clear frustration for what DJ Moore has and hasn't been for this team. So he's going to put up his catches. He's going to be a key player in this offense when he does get the ball in his hands. But that's going to happen less if he doesn't do more when the ball is not in his hands.
Chris, where do things stand with Caleb Williams right now, and how much of that Ty Dunn report is true or fair?
Yeah, it was interesting, and you know, this goes back to the Eberflus run, right? This was his former staff, but clearly, yeah, we know who's talking in this. A lot of it's true. Like, a lot of this is stuff that we've all heard privately, things of that nature. But I think the common theme of that was, look, he's really talented and could overcome this. And if you're really reading this closely, you kind of understand that a quality coaching staff could take him over the top. And he's gotten better. They've really made him drink through a fire hose with Ben Johnson leading this charge to develop Caleb Williams. And game one to game two was better. Game one was really sloppy for Caleb Williams. He looked more comfortable, more decisive, showed the right fundamentals and footwork in game two. I talked with Declan Doyle, their offensive coordinator, today. He's like, look, it's getting steadily better week in and week out. And I take him at his word for that. I see the same thing. I think he still can be a franchise quarterback, but this isn't the immediate returns you'd like of a number one overall pick, certainly, and this is a work in progress for the Bears. So, look, if this season continues to get lost, they're sitting here at 0-2 right now. They got a really good team coming in, and this season could really see snowballing losses here fast. But if you look in here deep down the road and they're out of the playoff picture, this season suddenly becomes all about Caleb Williams and whether he can become that franchise quarterback or not, and the spotlight will shine brighter on him this year.
Chris Emma, 670 The Score. Thank you for your insights on the Bears. Have fun covering the game this weekend.
Take care.
There he goes. Chris Emma, thank you so much. We're live at Williams Chicken in Arlington, 20 and Cooper, just north of 20. Chris Arnold has arrived. CA's in the house. He'll be the stadium host for the State Fair Classic. You can get tickets for Grambling and Prairie View right now. Just come on by Williams Chicken, and they got you covered. All right. How about some Cowboys-Bears trivia? Who knows the most about this historic pro football matchup? We got the giveaway coming up as well. The Ultimate Fan Hang, watching the Cowboys, brought to you by Whataburger. Stay tuned for that. And we're back here to the G-Bag Nation and the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.